Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. You know, I have several friends who are alumni at the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. This great institution allows cadets to further their education and earn a commission in our military, if they desire to, which about one in every three do. Rated as the number one public college in the South, the Citadel also offers master's degree graduate certificates online or on campus. If you're looking for a bachelor or master's degree, this might be the right college for you. Check citadel.edu. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by addressing the threat to our nation of Islam. Then we're going to review December's movie of the month. And, of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show a good friend and one who really knows what he's talking about. Dave Ajma is a retired Air Force Reserve Lieutenant Colonel, a retired American Airlines pilot, and a very active and informed citizen. Welcome back to the show, Dave.
Hey, it's a pleasure anytime.
Dave, start by giving the listeners a quick review of your military service.
Well, I started out with about 7.5, 8 years of active duty service, flying fighters. I graduated pilot training through the F-4 Phantom supersonic fighter. And I got into the reserves, served another 7.5 years here at Battle Creek, and then I got into basically recruiting for the Air Force Academy. So I spent about 26 years total in the military.
One of the things you did after you got out was to get active politically. I know that you were a state representative for 6 years, and you were also served on the Republican National Committee. Give us a little overview of that, because that gives you a perspective that most citizens don't have.
Well, originally I ran for office because I didn't like politicians, and once I got involved with it and won the state legislative position, I realized all my suspicions were true. So I ran for 3 different terms, which is the most you can do in the state of Michigan, won handily in each one. I ran against 9 other people that were politicians. People told me I couldn't win, but I won handily every time. I won with more and more of the vote every time I ran instead of less and less like most. Following that, then I was called one day, actually by Washington, but for growth, they wanted me to run against Upton as a congressman. I said, I don't want to spend years away from my family and my grandkids. So then I was talked into running for the Republican National Committeeman position in the state of Michigan. And that same thing, I ran again against an establishment guy, and they said, you can't win. And in 30 days, I won the statewide election with roughly 70% of the vote.
And how long did you serve on the National Committee?
4 years.
Okay.
Which is long enough for me. I learned that the swamp is deep in Michigan, but it's deep in the federal government, especially in the RNC as well.
And you weren't shocked, were you?
No, not at all. Most of the people in the RNC were the good old boys that have given a lot of money to the party, and they just go along with whatever. It's kind of a big party. They spend a lot of money every time we come down to some expensive hotel. But it was really run by the RNC chair, which at the time was Priebus, and it's now Ronna Romney. Basically, what they say goes. I never could find out how they got their money or where they exactly spent it, which is, to me, it's not very open to us to figure out where, what they're doing with their money. So I spent 1 term, 4 years. That was enough for me.
So, folks, you can see that Dave's got a perspective that we average folks don't have. Okay, to the topic. Dave, I know you have seriously looked into the challenge of Islam to U.S. and to the world for well over 10 years that I'm aware of. And because as I look around the world, particularly in Europe, I can see Muslim immigrants causing chaos there. And many of them are apparently seeking to transform their host nation into a Muslim nation rather than becoming good citizens of their new nation. And while
Absolutely.
It's less intense in the United States, it's still here. And this just could result in the end of our constitutional republic. That's my concern. I'd like you to talk to us about that threat.
Well, in 2004, it was discovered in the home of al-Barassi in the sub-basement floor. They found documents what the Muslim Brotherhood goal was for North America. And we had a 2008 Holy Land Foundation trials in Texas. And from that, they threw several people in jail, but the Holy Land Foundation was itself gotten rid of. And they labeled another 29 organizations that operate in the United States whose goal is, mandated by the Quran, to destroy America from within. And that's called Civilization Jihad. Those 29 agencies included agencies like CARE, Council on American-Islamic Relations, which, by the way, they put me on their quasi-hit list, Islam Islamic Society of North America, MSA, Muslim Student Association, and a host of others. All of those organizations have as part of their goal to destroy America from within. So what the Quran dictates, and I have in front of me here pages out of the Quran, what it tells them that they must do with the infidel. They're demanded to hijra, that is, go into other countries and take them over from within for Islam. Now, what happened is in the Industrial Revolution, other countries like America and so forth got new weapons and so forth, so the Muslims could not control the world like they did for 1,400 years prior. So now they know they can't defeat us militarily. So what they will do is try to get into this country. They will get into your schools. They will get into the government. There's been over 100 people ran for government positions in this last election throughout the United States. And they will try to change America from within. But most people are ignorant of how they do it. And they're also ignorant of the fact that they will be very friendly, and that's part of the plan as well. When they're about 10%, they're still friendly. When they get 15 to 25%, they're not friendly anymore. That's what you see in England and France, in Germany, when they stop the streets and they pray. What people don't understand, when they stop in the streets and just clog the streets, they can make that prayer up. Most people don't know the Quran, so they don't know that these people are just performing Sharia law in front of your face, but you just are going along with it. And also in Europe, you got entire no-go zones for non-Muslims. That includes the police. These are Islamic enclaves where only Muslims live. So Muslim-only policy is based on Sharia. In England, an Anglican bishop calls for the rule of Islamic law for Muslims. The bishop is obeying Sharia law. We also have that in the United States where we have a Chrislam, where people try to combine Islam with Christianity. They are diametrically opposed. Islam is an antichrist. Islam says the Quran supersedes all of man's laws on this world, whatever country it comes from. So in a sense, when you see some of these congressmen putting their hand on a Bible and swearing in on the Bible as a congressman or a state rep, they're saying, my Quran supersedes your state constitution and federal constitution. It is anathema to our constitution because they have different rights for different people. Not everybody is equal. Christians may not speak to Muslims about Christianity, nor may Christians hand out literature. We found that out in Detroit when they had Christians handing out literature on the public sidewalk and they had stones thrown at them and so forth, and they were basically bludgeoned a little bit, and they were thrown in jail, not the Muslims throwing the rocks. Of course, the guy that threw in jail happened to be a Muslim police officer. That later was adjudicated, and the Christians won that case. Rape by Muslims is so prevalent in parts of Sweden that Sweden has forbidden the police from even collecting the data. In London, mass demonstrations by Muslims call for the end of British law and Sharia law to rule all people. In hospitals during the Ramadan fast, non-Muslims cannot eat where Muslims can see them. So all those things that you see in Europe are now coming to America. For example, on September 11, when the jihadists attacked and destroyed the World Trade Center, that was an example of exactly what they should do. That's the radical violent jihad. But the civilization jihad is more systemic within America because you don't really see it happen until it's too late. For example, textbooks in America must be approved by Islamic councils. I bet most people didn't know that. Some schools are even teaching the five pillars of Islam. Of course, you can't teach Christianity anymore, but they can teach Islam. American employers and schools are met with demands for time and space to do their Islamic prayer. Like I said before, they can do that. They can make it up. They don't have to do it at that time. Another issue I think a lot of people are ignorant of is the American banking system is becoming Islamicized with Sharia financing. Our banking system is becoming Sharia compliant in financial law, but it's ignorant about the totality of Sharia law, i.e. the zakat they pay on the money they make, a percentage of that must go to jihad / terrorism. Universities are asked in America to provide sexually segregated swimming pools. That's abiding by Sharia. Hospitals are being sued for not providing Sharia compliant treatment. No college course level in any college in Michigan, or for that matter, in most places in the United States, have any critical thinking about the doctrine of Islam. They say it's peaceful. Nothing could be further from the truth.
And that's what we're going to pick up when we come back. You can tell there's a lot more to discuss about the challenge of America dealing with Islam. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. I want you to balance on one foot for 2 minutes, then balance on the other foot for 2 minutes. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. David and I will be right back. In accordance with the U.S. flag code, all Spartan Nash retail stores collect customers' old, worn, faded, and or frayed American flags. In partnership with local veterans groups, we properly retire the flags we collect, a program we have offered since Veterans Day 2015.
It's part of Spartan Nash's commitment to patriotism and serving our military heroes and their families. To find a store near you, visit SpartanNash.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. You hear the sound of breaking glass at 2 a.m. What should you do? Many people get a flashlight to investigate, but that could get you killed. Get your firearm immediately. Take up a defensive position in your safe room, then call 911 and wait for the police to arrive. The police can do the job they were trained for, and you and your family can stay safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. Plus, as an added bonus, our retirement income kit, packed full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Dave Ajma on the threat of Islam to our nation. Go right ahead, yes, Dave.
Well, they'll tell you that Islam is a religion of peace, and it's a quasi-lie. It's a big lie, but it's a quasi-lie. It is not a religion of peace until the whole world is Islamic or Muslim. Until that time, it is war. That's part of the Quran. That's what it says. You will fight the infidel until the whole world is Islam. Then we will have peace. So they'll say it's a religion of peace. Yes, it's a religion of peace when all of us infidels have either been killed or converted or become slaves. Muslim foot baths, for example, are being installed at airport facilities. That's in compliance with Sharia law. American prisons are strongholds of Islamic proselytizing. Workplaces are being made Islamic worship sites through special rooms. We talked about that already. Islamic refugees bring all of their wives for welfare and medical treatment to America. We had some that came here and said that this was their wife or their cousin and so forth. The chain migration, and found out they weren't even related. So that's an issue through immigration as well. And by the way, remember, they are told they must immigrate into non-Muslim countries. Remember that. So some of the things that people don't understand about Sharia and Islam is, I said before, it's anti-constitutional. But how is it anti-constitutional? Number one, there's no freedom of religion. You either have to believe in Islam or you're an infidel, and infidels must either convert, become a slave, or kill. There's no freedom of speech. You cannot speak out against Islam or Muhammad, or you can be killed. There's no freedom or expression of your thoughts because they cannot contradict the Quran. There's no freedom of artistic expression. There's no freedom of the press. There's no equality of people. A non-Muslim is always inferior, and they're called the kafir, by the way, to any Muslim. And women are inferior to their men, even if they're Muslim women. There's no equal protection under Sharia law. Justice is dualistic. That's contrary to what our Constitution says, with one set of laws for Muslim males, different set of laws for Muslim women and non-Muslims. There's no equal rights for women, obviously. And you've seen in the newspapers, we even have genital mutilation now, where they basically cut off the clitoris of the woman. Women can be beaten. A non-Muslim cannot bear arms. That's a big one for me. I will continue to bear my arms, no matter what they say. There's no democracy, since democracy means that non-Muslims are equal to Muslims. And our Constitution, they say, is a man-made document of ignorance, and it must submit to Sharia. And non-Muslims are called dhimmis, that's third-class citizens. All governments must be ruled by Sharia law. That's part of the Quran. Unlike common law, Sharia is not interpretive, nor can it be changed. So what did I just say? I basically said is everything that Sharia law and Islam stands for is against our Constitution, against our culture, against our religion here and our faith that says you can be any religion you want to, provided that you're not trying to destroy the country that you're living in. Another thing is they are told not to assimilate. So they don't assimilate. That's why you get the enclaves that we have in Hamtramck and in Detroit and suburbs. So we have a huge problem. And I think one of the solutions is, first of all, the Muslim Brotherhood was formed in 1928, and they've been alive and well, forming all these other organizations like CARE and ISMA and so forth. But there are several countries, Egypt, United Arab Emirates, and several others, that have labeled the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. That's what Trump needs to do.
This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking about the challenge of Islam in the United States with Dave Ajima. Dave, that sounds like a call to action. It sounds like we citizens need to know this, but more than that, we need to do something about it. And that probably means getting active by communicating with our elected officials and our president. Is that a safe bet?
It is, but also parents in your schools. If they're teaching the five pillars of Islam, you need to stop it, because it's a quasi-lie. They just teach five things that sound similar to Scripture, but it's not. When you dig into the Quran and the Sunnah, and there's three things it depends on, the Quran and the Sunnah, what Muhammad said and did, and what his biography was in the Quran. That's the three things they basically base their faith. By the way, it's only 14% religion. It's 96% how you should live, how you should be politically, how you should treat the infidel, and how you should treat your wives and so forth. It's not much religion. And quite frankly, most of your mosques are radicalization centers in the United States. So I have an issue with mosques being identified where people were radicalized and they're still open. They should be shut down. So you need to contact your congressman. You need to pass things like American Law for American Courts, the bill I had in when I was a state representative, which says judges will not use foreign law in a court of law if it causes you to lose your constitutional rights. And all the Democrats and some Republicans who are ignorant about Islam fought that. They said, we don't need it. Well, you do need it, because we've already had cases where, for example, a woman wants to get a separation from her husband because he keeps beating her here in the United States, but he goes to the court and says, according to my faith, I can beat my wife. So the judge looks at the Sharia law and says, sure enough, you can beat your wife. Case dismissed. So she has to go to the next higher court to get it thrown out. We need stuff like American law for American courts to stop that. We also need to stop any kind of immigration from terrorist nations. I think that's just asking for trouble. We have ISIS coming in every state of the union, according to General Boykin. He told me they're in every state of the union now, just waiting. So it's definitely an issue that has to be dealt with. It's our security is at stake, and it's our Constitution at stake, and they're whittling away at it as best they can.
And since we veterans fought to defend the Constitution, and it's the Constitution that's at risk, and if we let it get whittled away, eaten away, the future is black, not dark. It's horrible. And that's why
it absolutely is.
That's why I wanted David on, because he can articulate it as well as anybody I know. And there's a call to action here. Folks, if you're a citizen, you got kids in public schools or private schools, know what they're teaching. Know who's on the board and what they think's appropriate. Know who your elected representatives are, particularly at federal level for dealing with this, but also at the state level. Because this goes on at the state level too, doesn't it, Dave?
Absolutely. And people got to know the Quran says that the kafir, that's you and me, the infidel, may be deceived, plotted against, hated, enslaved, mocked, tortured, and killed. Folks, I have problems with what would happen if somebody like Stanley, a preacher, said, I think all Muslims should be killed. Yet Muslims can have in their Quran and say it's a religion of peace, exactly what it says, that they can kill me as an infidel. I have issues with that.
And I don't think you're saying that all individuals who are Muslims feel this way. We're not attacking individuals, but this is the consistent theme of the religious movement of Islam. Am I safe in saying that?
If you are correct. If a Muslim is a true Muslim and a true believer and believes the Quran is the way they should live and the Sunnah, they should live like Muhammad, then they are terrorists. But there are some that came here to get away from that. Matter of fact, I had one woman come speak at the Capitol when I was putting out my American Law for American Courts bill, and she spoke against Sharia law because she knows what it was like to live underneath it. Now, I suspect she's had a few death threats as a result of that, because you can't leave that faith without getting a death threat. And by the way, I'm on CARE's quasi-hit list. I think at one point I was number 15 or 16 on that list to take out. I have issues with that, too. What would happen if I made a list of Muslims I want to take out posted? That's just crazy. That's the kind of stuff that goes on in America, and we just tolerate it. Tolerance is exactly what Islam thrives on. People have got to know that. And for the last 1,400 years, we know that they have killed hundreds of millions of people, at least 60 million Christians, 80 million Hindus, 10 million Buddhists, 120 million Africans. That equals 270 million. But those numbers are low. Some people say it's closer to 400 million have been killed by Islam. So it's not our friend. It's here to try to take us over. You got to be wise. You can't be ignorant. And when you see it being taught in your schools, stand up, stop it, write your congressman, write the president, tell them to make the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization, and stop immigration from terrorist countries.
Well said, my friend. David, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform, but your service to our nation now. I appreciate you, brother.
My pleasure. Hoo-ah.
Next up on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll discuss the December movie of the month with Diane Raver. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Start with a dozen with each arm, then stand at ease. But do stay in the area.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs entirely online. Flexible scheduling makes these programs convenient for working professionals. Continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence, classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's granting public college in the South. Online on your time. Visit Citadel.com. edu/online.
I started going cold turkey, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it.
I do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopRex.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
William Barr is President Trump's next pick to be the next Attorney General of the United States. He's testifying before a Senate Judiciary Committee today. He was asked how the American people should think of the Mueller investigation.
I think that there were allegations made of Russian attempts to interfere in the election. And as I understand it, Mueller is looking into those allegations.
The longest partial government shutdown in U.S. history is now in its 25th day. Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy tells Fox News the president is not budging when it comes to a wall.
I think he understands what most Americans understand, that it's ludicrous to think that you can secure a 1,900-mile border without barriers.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions, troops. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Now it's time to review the movie of the month for December. It was Tales of the Jersey Shore, The Morrow Castle, Episode 1. Joining us now is our official movie contributor, Diane Raver. Diane is the founder of the Garden State Film Festival, an event that she runs in late winter. So welcome back to the show, Diane.
Thank you, Danny. It's always a pleasure to be on your show and share our wonderful films with your audience.
It is fun, too. I trust you had a wonderful Christmas and New Year. I sure did.
Yeah, absolutely. Always a wonderful time of year for family and friends.
That's right. Family, friends, and too much food.
That's pretty much it.
then we get to exercise now. Anyway.
Yep.
Okay, The Morrow Castle. The Morrow Castle was a real ship. This is a real story that really burned at sea and floated ashore in New Jersey.
Yes, and again, I live in Seagirt, New Jersey, right here on the coast, and many of my mother's contemporaries were the lifeguards that went out to save the survivors. There is still a mystery about how this, as well as the Hindenburg, which happened down here by us, started. There's a pretty strong suggestion that it was some kind of foul play that caused this disaster, and of course the disaster itself started a revolution in the maritime safety area, whereas, enough life preservers and rafts and all of that had to be on board. Why they didn't learn that at the Titanic, I don't know, but evidently these things were slow to come into existence.
Yeah, we're all sort of slow to want to do things that it might be an inconvenience.
Again, a lot of it is in the days before safety regulations, anything that cost money was not necessarily put into effect.
Well, and besides that, it won't happen to me. It might happen to somebody else.
Well, that's correct. Yes, exactly.
But the Morrow Castle was sort of a cruise ship. It was really not designed to go out in the ocean. It went back and forth between New York and Cuba, but it looked like one. It was laid out like one. It was effectively a small cruise ship, right?
That's correct. Right. And not meant to go in treacherous water, but anybody who's been to sea knows there's always treacherous water lurking,
It comes to you. You don't have to go to it.
Exactly.
So the Morrow Castle was doing its thing. This is during Prohibition time and also during the Great Recession. So if somebody wanted to drink, being more than 3 miles offshore, whatever it was you could drink, so they could take that cruise to Cuba and do that, sort of one chance to relax and then come back and get back in the grind. That's one of its charms, wasn't it, that you could do
yes,
that?
Yes, yes. And I wouldn't have called it a luxury liner, but again, folks just getting through the Depression weren't able to go on these ships, so you had to have some means to be a passenger on the Morrow Castle. There is some suspicion that there was foul play involved in the fire, but it was quite traumatic, and the boat landed off of Asbury Park and became a tourist attraction because the smoke looked like people, even though everybody either perished or was in the sea. It burned for days and days. It was quite traumatic.
It was on its way back from Cuba.
That's correct, and it got into trouble right off of Manasquan, Asbury Park, New Jersey. So
almost home.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, this is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're reviewing the movie The Morrow Castle. Let me throw out some viewer comments. One was, I couldn't believe something like this could happen. Well, I think that goes back to your comments about the fact that in those days they didn't take safety and those kind of requirements that much, and for all kinds of reasons, money, not the least of which. So that was a big part of it, I'm sure.
Yeah. And again, you wonder why they didn't learn that in the Titanic, but hey,
Of course, hindsight's always 20/20. And the next one makes sense. Now I know why the government has created safety standards and enforces them. And as a guy who's taken a couple of cruises in his life, they do have them, and I'm sure glad, and thank you, Morrow Castle, if you're the reason that they did that.
Right. And again, they do have the drills that they didn't have prior to now on all cruise ships, and they show you where all the safety gear is and all of that, which, again, makes a lot of sense.
It does, even though most people don't pay a lot of attention to it.
Well, but they would if they got in trouble.
Where did they say that was?
Yeah.
And it was amazing that apparently no one did background checks on anybody, since that guy with a criminal background not only was hired to be the communicator on the ship, but was later hired by the police department.
Well, exactly. And, of course, there was no internet back then, which was, you know, everything was done with files and such. And so much has changed, which is good and bad, of course. But this was a breakthrough moment in maritime history, which is why I thought your folks would be interested in it.
It was indeed, and certainly the Coast Guard could have but didn't play a role. They said they couldn't come out because it was too dangerous, yet all kinds of civilian.
Right. The big hero who was the captain of our lifeguards here in Seagirt, New Jersey, named Tom Black. He later became mayor of Seagirt. And the other heroes were the Bogan family that had a fishing boat from Brielle, New Jersey. They went out and saved many, many people, but, you know, sadly, many more perished.
Yes, indeed. And bodies floating ashore.
Yeah, it was pretty dramatic. My mother, who was 12 at the time, tells the story that it was pretty dramatic and distressing.
I mean, it would be dramatic to see one floating ashore.
Yeah.
Much less hundreds.
Right.
A lifeboat full of crew with few or no passengers. Wow, the crew standards were very different then, too, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, what can you say other than, this is another situation where let us not ever have this happen again.
Indeed. And the captain apparently got sick and or died the night before this. So the second in command, the executive officer, or whatever the title is, became the commander. The guy who became his second in command was one of the first persons to leave on a boat, only with crew. I mean, a lifeboat.
Yeah. Obviously, he never heard the captain go down with the ship. You know?
No. That's horrific, and military people particularly would fall apart on that one.
Right.
And apparently the ship was supposed to be almost fireproof.
Right.
But
again, it burned and burned and burned because I've seen and heard first witness accounts of it after it landed in Asbury Park at the convention hall that, you know, it was so hot you could feel the heat on the beach. It burned for several days. I know that to be true as well.
Wow. The movie certainly was accurately portrayed. I didn't sense anything awkward or inappropriate or trying to cover mistakes in that. It was just pure history.
Right.
Okay. What's going to be the movie of the month for January?
I believe it's The Last Imperial Soldier. Is that
it
correct,
is. It is. It's a story about the end of World War II. Actually,
well,
after,
not exactly.
After the end of World War II.
It's the true life story of hero, and forgive my pronunciation, Onoda, who was found in 1974, had been hiding on an island and still thought World War II was on. And he would not leave, even though when discovered, until his commanding officer from World War II came and relieved him of his duty there. You know, he was an intelligence officer. And it's a true story of how he hid out for 30 years.
Wow. That's quite a story.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, the Garden State Film Festival is coming up soon. Tell us where, when, and how to plug in.
Okay, well, our website is www.gsff.org. We are presenting March 28th through the 31st, 2019, in Asbury Park, New Jersey. We just put the schedule together, and we have something like 260-some films from many, many countries. Last year it was 22. I haven't counted them up yet. All over the globe. And it's going to be a great time. And we hope any of you that are in striking distance come out and join us.
I'm going to sure try to be there.
Oh, that would be marvelous.
Diane, thank you for taking time to join us today. And thank you for your great effort in making films known and affordable and not letting Hollywood get all the credit. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Denny, and it is always our greatest privilege and honor to be associated with you and the men and women that keep our freedom safe. We do appreciate you. Please know that.
Thank you, Diane. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be about 100 pounds by now. Do an even 100 bench presses, 10 at a time. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease. Why would a U.S. soldier in combat be jailed for shooting the enemy? I mean, isn't that why we send our troops into combat? Yet a number of our troops are or have been in military prison for murder for killing our enemies. The problem is confusing rules of engagement and some of our leaders who lack the courage to stand up for their troops. United American Patriots stands up for these troops. Check UnitedPatriots.org. That's UnitedPatriots.org.
Staying at a hotel is not the same thing as staying at the Fisher House.
The Fisher House, I know, is a huge part of land recovery.
For somebody like my husband, for them to know that their family members are being taken care of, that's a huge burden off of them, so they can concentrate on their therapies.
Just having that assurance that no matter what, as long as we were there for Anson, that someone would be there to take care of us. It took so much weight off our shoulders.
How can you help? Go to FisherHouse.org.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from your listeners. Do send me your thoughts to Denny at frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Pete, who is an Army vet, didn't like the blatant Christian interview you did with a chaplain on your Christmas show. He thinks you should keep your religious feelings to yourself.
Pete, I respect your right to whatever feelings about God you wish to have, and I'm entitled to mine. And since Front Lines of Freedom is my show, and I share things that I feel are important, you will occasionally hear my faith coming out. That's just who I am.
Mary from California really liked your interview with Santa Claus on your Christmas show. She wants to know if the story of how Santa came to be was real.
Mary, I'd like to say yes, but I made up every bit of it. It was fun doing. The next time I decide to interview Santa, I think I'll add some more ho-ho-hos, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. Well, this is the time we take to honor the life and service of a veteran who is no longer with us. Marine Gunnery Sergeant Gary G. Wilson of Murrieta, California, enlisted in the Marine Corps in March 2010. He was assigned to the San Diego area as a drill instructor in March of 2016 after service overseas in Okinawa, Japan, and at Camp Pendleton. In September, he was riding his motorcycle to work when he observed a large box truck swerve in front of him. The truck swerved to the right and slammed into a line of cars, causing two cars to spin off the road into the nearby brush. The engine of one car burst into flames. Wilson rushed from his motorcycle to the burning car, where an injured woman was trapped inside and the car doors would not open. Without regard for his own safety and at great risk to his life from quickly spreading flames, intense heat, smoke, and the possibility of an explosion, Sergeant Wilson broke the passenger side window with his elbow, reached his body into the burning and smoke-filled car, and pulled out the trapped woman. Moments later, the car was engulfed in flames. Wilson then returned to the second car, finding those doors stuck and the woman driver trapped by airbags and the brush fire encroaching. He pried open one of the doors, pulled the woman out, and carried her to safety. And on November 16th, Wilson, 33, was killed in a motorcycle accident on the I-15 on his way home from work. On December 12th, Wilson was posthumously awarded the Navy and Marine Corps' highest non-combat award, the Navy and Marine Corps Medal, which was presented to Wilson's 12-year-old son, Ian Wilson. Rest in peace, Sergeant Wilson.
You know, Colonel, anytime you mention the word drill instructor, you know, I'll get like chills, because every Marine remembers their drill instructors. I mean, their names, the sound of their voice, their cadence, because they're all different, and they're all like greasy crowbar, bone-chilling voices that they have.
So they're not affectionate feelings?
No, not at all, but you'll always remember them, that's for sure.
Now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip.
On 10 January 1779, during the Revolutionary War, the French presented John Paul Jones with a dilapidated vessel, the Duc de Duras. This Jones refitted, mounted with 42 guns, and renamed Bonhomme Richard in honor of Benjamin Franklin. On 19 June 1779, Bonhomme Richard sailed from Laurent, accompanied by Alliance, Pallas, Vengeance, and Cerf, with troop transports and merchant vessels under convoy to Bordeaux and to cruise against the British in the Bay of Biscay. Forced to return to port for repair, the squadron sailed again 14 August 1779, going northwest around the west coast of the British Isles into the North Sea and then down the east coast. The squadron took 16 merchant vessels as prizes. On 23 September 1779, they encountered the Baltic fleet of 41 sail under convoy of HMS Serapis and Countess of Scarborough near Scarborough Head. Bonhom Richard engaged Serapis, and a bitter engagement ensued during the next 4 hours before Serapis struck her colors. Bonhom Richard, shattered, on fire, and leaking badly, defied all efforts to save her and sank. John Paul Jones sailed the captured Serapis to Holland for repairs.
I'll bet that was something he felt good about, having something to get onto after his ship sunk.
Yeah, you bet.
And on 8 January 1815, 2 weeks after the War of 1812 officially ended, General Andrew Jackson achieved the greatest American victory of the war at the Battle of New Orleans. The British hoped that by capturing the city, they could separate Louisiana from the rest of the United States. Pirate Jean Lafitte, however, had warned the Americans of the attack, and the arriving British found militiamen under General Jackson strongly entrenched at the Rodriguez Canal. In two separate assaults, the 7,500 British soldiers under Sir Edward Pakenham were unable to penetrate the U.S. defenses, and Jackson's 4,500 troops, many of them expert marksmen from Kentucky and Tennessee, decimated the British lines. In a half hour, the British had retreated. General Pakenham was dead, and nearly 2,000 of his men killed, wounded, or missing. U.S. forces suffered only 8 killed and 13 wounded. Although the battle had no bearing on the outcome of the war, Jackson's overwhelming victory elevated national pride, which had suffered a number of setbacks during the war. This battle was also the last armed engagement between the U.S. and Britain.
On 11 January 1863, the Confederate ship Alabama, under Captain Semmes, flew a British flag and lured the USS Hatteras out of Galveston Harbor. The Hatteras was quickly sunk.
And on 10 January 1944, the GI Bill of Rights, which was first proposed by the American Legion, was passed by Congress. The bill, more formally known as the Servicemen's Readjustment Act of 1944, was intended to smooth demobilization for Americans' almost 16 million servicemen and women. Post-war college and vocational school attendance soared as more than 50% of honorably discharged veterans took advantage of education benefits of up to $500 a year for tuition, plus a living allowance. When they returned home to marry, start families in record numbers, veterans faced a severe housing shortage. The home loan provision of the GI Bill provided more than 2 million home loans and created a new American landscape for the suburbs. In 1990, President George Bush summed up the impact of the GI Bill, quote, "The GI Bill changed the lives of millions by replacing old roadblocks with paths of opportunity." And that's military history. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. Take us there, man.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, two armed robbers were no match for a pharmacist with a revolver in Maryland. The armed citizen was in his office and saw his employees raise their hands in the air. Then he saw the gunman and his cohort. The manager, who keeps a handgun in his desk, grabbed his gun and confronted the would-be thieves. Even though one pointed a rifle at him, the armed citizen resolutely defended his crew. He fired once, shocking the intruders into fleeing.
Thanks, Colonel. Before I question the pharmacist's choice of firearms, we first need to recognize that Maryland is not the most gun-friendly state. In fact, it's not very friendly at all toward guns and gun owners. This man chose a revolver to go up against a rifle. His revolver held either 5 or 6 rounds. We have no idea on the capacity of the rifle, but one thing we know for sure, the ballistics on a rifle will almost always provide more stopping power than a handgun due to increased velocity. And of course, the rifle will be more accurate than a short-barreled revolver. In a fight of this scenario, going up against multiple attackers wielding a rifle, I would have chosen one of two firearms. First, an AR-15 carbine boasting a 30-round magazine would have been a great choice. You'll have plenty of ammo and stopping power with increased accuracy. For the close-quarters combat aspect of this fight, you could also attach a laser or holographic sight, making for quicker target acquisition under stress. Unfortunately, the state of Maryland has banned any magazine capable of holding more than 10 rounds. It has also banned AR-15s with certain characteristics under most circumstances. My second choice would have been a short-barreled tactical shotgun, probably with double-aught buckshot or perhaps one of the excellent self-defense rounds, like Hornady Critical Defense or PDX Defender. Both provide excellent stopping power. The only weakness is the lack of ammo capacity, as they hold either 6 or 7 rounds, which is not always enough against multiple assailants. After all, no one ever came out of a gunfight saying, "Oh man, I just wish I'd had less ammo." But no matter what gun he used, you have to admit one thing. This pharmacist had the proper attitude and courage to take on superior numbers and superior firepower. Besides, it's not his fault the state of Maryland denied him the proper tools to protect himself. Here's my advice to all of you who live in states with restrictive gun laws. Either move to a different state or become a very accurate shot. After all, your life may depend on it.
Well said, my friend. Our movie of the month for this month is The Last Imperial Soldier. It's a true story. Please go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, but I'd really appreciate getting your input. Our book giveaway this week is Austin Bay's Cocktails from Hell. To get it in the drawing, email me, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put Cocktails from Hell in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the smart use of military power. Then we'll talk with Navy doc and author Jeff Wilson about his book series, Tier 1. It's about combat. I think Jeff is a lookalike to Skip. I think they write the same kind of books. And Flo Green will share her perspective as a veteran's wife.
Colonel, I like him already. Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom, and do continue to have a very happy new year. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.
Spartan Ash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember. As a national partner with Honor and Remember, Spartan Ash is deeply committed to never forgetting those who paid the ultimate price in service to our country.
The flag serves as a symbol of remembrance, and Spartan Ash flies the Honor and Remember flag at all facilities. The flag artwork is on our fleet of tractor trailers, which travel nearly 67 million miles each year.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill continue for Attorney General nominee William Barr. During that hearing, Barr says he will not be bullied.
I am not going to do anything that I think is wrong, and I will not be bullied into doing anything I think is wrong by anybody.
Barr was also asked if he believes Special Counsel Robert Mueller is involved in a witch hunt.
I believe it is in the best interest of everyone, the President, Congress, and the American people, that this matter be resolved by allowing the Special Counsel to complete his work.
Congressional Democrats rejected President Trump's invitation to a lunch meeting at the White House to discuss border security. Negotiations are continuing over a bid to keep Sears open and operating. Sears Chairman Eddie Lampert is now offering more than $5 billion for the bankrupt company, a deal that would keep hundreds of stores open across the nation. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing, he had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife Jenny was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM.
A federal court is blocking a White House plan to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
The decision by a New York court is a victory for civil rights groups who argue that the addition of the question onto the survey would disenfranchise minority groups. As the census helps determine congressional seats and federal funding decisions for years into the future, the White House argued the question is necessary in order to uphold certain provisions of the Voting Rights Act. The court called that justification a sham. The Justice Department is going to appeal the decision.
Atlanta is beginning its preparations for Super Bowl 53. Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms is looking forward to her city hosting the Super Bowl.
We are very honored to host this event that will be watched by the entire world. And we have been planning for years at this point to host the Super Bowl.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Recapping one of our top stories of the day, William Barr is President Trump's next pick to be the next Attorney General of the United States. He's testifying on Capitol Hill today. Take a listen to a portion of his comments.
The general's responsibility to enforce the law even-handedly and with integrity. The Attorney General must ensure that the administration of justice, the enforcement of the law, is above and away from politics. Nothing could be more destructive of our system of government, of the rule of law, or the Department of Justice as an institution than any toleration of political interference with the enforcement of the law. I believe this as strongly today as I did 27 years ago, indeed more strongly. We live in a time when the country is deeply divided. In the current environment, the American people have to know that there are places in the government where the rule of law, not politics, holds sway, and where they will be treated fairly based solely on the facts and the even-handed application of the law. The Department of Justice must be that place. I did not pursue this position, and when my name was first raised, I was reluctant to be considered and indeed proposed a number of alternative candidates. If confirmed, I will serve with the same independence I did in 1991.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill continue for Attorney General nominee William Barr. During that hearing, Barr says he will not be bullied.
I am not going to do anything that I think is wrong, and I will not be bullied into doing anything I think is wrong by anybody.
Barr was also asked if he believes Special Counsel Robert Mueller is involved in a witch hunt.
I believe it is in the best interest of everyone, the president, Congress, and the American people, that this matter be resolved by allowing the special counsel to complete his work.
Congressional Democrats rejected President Trump's invitation to a lunch meeting at the White House to discuss border security. Negotiations are continuing over a bid to keep Sears open and operating. Sears Chairman Eddie Lampert is now offering more than $5 billion for the bankrupt company, a deal that would keep hundreds of stores open across the nation. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM.
A federal court is blocking a White House plan to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
The decision by a New York court is a victory for civil rights groups who argue that the addition of the question onto the survey would disenfranchise minority groups. As the census helps determine congressional seats and federal funding decisions for years into the future, the White House argued the question is necessary in order to uphold certain provisions of the Voting Rights Act. The court called that justification a sham. The Justice Department is going to appeal the decision.
Atlanta is beginning its preparations for Super Bowl 53. Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms is looking forward to her city hosting the Super Bowl.
We are very honored to host this event that will be watched by the entire world. And we have been planning for years at this point to host the Super Bowl.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Recapping one of our top stories of the day, William Barr is President Trump's next pick to be the next Attorney General of the United States. He's testifying on Capitol Hill today. Take a listen to a portion of his comments.
The general's responsibility to enforce the law even-handedly and with integrity. The Attorney General must ensure that the administration of justice, the enforcement of the law, is above and away from politics. Nothing could be more destructive of our system of government, of the rule of law, or the Department of Justice as an institution than any toleration of political interference with the enforcement of the law. I believe this as strongly today as I did 27 years ago, indeed more strongly. We live
in a time when the country is deeply divided. In the current environment, the American people have to know that there are places in the government where the rule of law, not politics, holds sway, and where they will be treated fairly based solely on the facts and the even-handed application of the law. The Department of Justice must be that place. I did not pursue this position, and when my name was first raised, I was reluctant to be considered.